Hello and welcome everybody to the Mel Manti Podcast. My name is Dylan.
I'm Vic.
Oh, who's supposed to go next?
Shit.
I was literally choking my saliva as you got to that point.
It's been a few weeks since we recorded.
Yeah. Hey. I'm Rick.
Okay. I'm glad we got that out of the way. My condolences to the Zenless Zone Zero community on the shortest November ever, I think.
Yep.
Rick, have you seen this new character that they released? Holy shit.
Have you shown me this one, Vic, or no?
Okay. No, maybe Vic has.
Maybe. Are you talking about Inari?
Yeah.
Okay. Octopus Lady.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. We definitely talked about it because if you look at our anime channel, we had a discussion about Octopus Women.
Oh, damn. People. I missed out.
Yeah. Octopus people. Because it didn't matter. Like, they asked me, you know, what. If I had to make an octopus person, what would I do? And I was like, well, you know, my default is like Octodad. Like, if you're familiar with that game?
Yeah.
I am familiar with Octodad, but this is an Octomom, or mommy, as it were, right? I think that's what the kids say these days.
What they say these days. You know exactly what they say.
What a great way to kick off the show. How you two been? It's been a while. We missed a recording session or two, I think.
I think, yeah. I mean, I'm doing great.
Yeah, I'm doing fine too. I mean, I don't know, nothing special to say. Like,
So, dear listeners, just to be straight with you, we do this thing every year where we take a short hiatus from the podcast to like recharge and prevent burnout and all that other shit. So, what you can expect is we might do one more episode this season, and then you ain't gonna hear from us until the end of January. Or earlier in January if something happens. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's really up in the air exactly when you'll hear from us, to be fair. Because, you know, sometimes we get bored.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm really looking forward to the time off. I know I really like recording the show and editing it. Like, don't get me wrong. But it is, you know, it's a task to do this every 2 weeks for a year straight.
And Christmas time is honestly just, I think it's busy for... I don't know if it's busy for Rick, but I know it's busy for you, and it's definitely really busy for me.
It has its moments.
For sure.
It's better when it's not busy for
me. Uh-huh.
Oh, but, for sure. No, I get that.
But yeah, so that's going to be in the immediate future, but don't worry, dear listeners, we will be back and better than ever. We'll kick off the season with discussion about all the award shows that are slated to happen here soon. I know the two big ones are the Golden Joysticks and the Game Awards. If you are a movie buff, the Golden Joysticks is kind of like the Academy Awards, and the Game Awards is kind of like the Oscars. They even like kind of rip off the fucking statue and everything.
Well, you know, good ideas are hard to come by, okay?
And just like both of those shows, the Golden Joysticks is basically a front for the Screen Actors Guild, and the Game Awards is all nepotism. So you bet there'll be a lot to complain about, because they never give it to the good people.
I was going to say, last year, if people remember, it was really good, the lineup, for most things. This year, though, I think there's just too much. I think shows are going to, they're literally damned if they do, damned if they don't. It's like, are you going to put Expedition 33 on your list? Or are you going to put Battlefield 6 or Arc Raiders on your list? Some people don't think that those games belong, but they did really well this year, regardless of what you think of their companies or AAA industries or whatever. And then you got Call of Duty, the elephant in the room, not doing so hot right now. Are you going to put that on your list just because it's a big name? It's like there's a lot of shit there's a lot of shit to be slung right now across the good games and bad games that you did well or didn't. And it's like I think these shows have their work cut out for them this year.
It's also interesting because there were so many bangers this year, and all of these great games that came out appeal to totally different people.
That too,
right? Like there are people that swear up and down about Expedition 33. I still haven't played it yet. But like those same people aren't going to give a shit about Battlefield 6.
Exactly. And Shroud, actually, funny enough, on Twitter, or actually, I think it was on stream, and then eventually on Twitter. He talked about how he thinks Arc Raiders should win, and that they shouldn't, or that people should vote for it instead of Expedition 33. And he did this because he likes those kinds of games. He doesn't play single player games very often, from my understanding. And then people are giving him shit, like, "Oh my god, I can't believe this guy!" It's like, you can't really, you can't. Like the guy that plays shooters for a living, the literal only thing he does for a living, probably for fun too, doesn't like the single-player turn-based RPG. Really, you didn't see that one coming, really.
Yeah, Dark Souls, the turn-based RPG, right?
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. But like, that doesn't mean it's a bad game either, right? It probably deserves to be up there.
It probably deserves some recognition, if nothing else.
Yeah, it deserves to be nominated.
For sure.
But a lot of games deserve to be nominated.
Well, I think that's part of the issue, right? Like, when we start talking about nominations, I wonder if, like, I feel like it has gotten too big. I think that is a correct assessment. I think what, like, I think at this point, you really should just have, like, a grudge match, like, do categories, and then have a grudge match at the very end between the category winners. See, probably the only way to be fair about it, right? Like,
at this point, yeah.
Like, the Golden Joysticks will have, like, console-specific awards, and I think there's one for PC. And then there's, like, an overall one that just mixes it all together. So, like, if, you know, Expedition 3 doesn't win, like, Game of the Year, it might win, like, PC Game of the Year or PlayStation Game of the Year. It came out on PlayStation as well, right? So it's, like,
yeah,
which makes sense because a lot of these great games that are coming out are multi-platform because they ain't first party, and most of them ain't AAA either, right? It's, like, really funny because, like, you have all these... This is the very same year that we saw, the fuck was that game called? The one that flopped hard. I know that doesn't narrow it down.
I was gonna say, I don't know. We got like
the one that flopped the most.
Was it Dustborn?
No, the one that
Dustborn was last year.
The one that was like Overwatch clone.
Right. Oh,
that was also last year, wasn't it?
Was it?
Let's look it up. It's fuck. What's it called?
What was the name?
I don't know. It's Overwatch for Chubby Chasers is what all I can remember because Fleekazoid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to do bad Overwatch clone.
It's Concord.
Concord. Thank you, Victor. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was last year, but it could be this year.
It was last year.
Was it? Oh, yeah. August 2024. Okay,
yeah,
that was last year.
Yeah, we made fun of that before Christmas.
Well, I bring it up. I bring it up because I feel like
it all starts to meld together.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of does.
Yeah, no,
time is a flat circle or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I think the effects of Concord are still being felt on the industry because, like, Sony spent millions upon millions and millions of dollars for this game, and it flopped ridiculously hard, right?
It flopped the hardest any game has flopped in a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they ever really recovered. Like, I can't think of a single, like, first-party Sony game that's come out since. I'm sure there are some. I don't know what they are.
I guess Astrobot, but yeah, that was also last year.
Yeah, some people even gave it Game of the Year last year, which was like that only happened because it was in flight at the same time as Concord, right?
But also, I hear Astrobot was actually just really good.
That too. But like, yeah. I'm sure there's a bunch of executives that got together after that thing flopped, and it's like, how the hell do we recover from this, right? And they probably made some decisions that were pretty tough.
Well, I hear one of the things that he'd do is fire a bunch of fuckers.
Yeah, it's apparently Amazon strategy, as it were.
Oh, man. That was rough. I mean, I don't know. Do we want to transition to that right now? Because, like, we can also talk about Square Enix and all that, too.
Let's talk about Amazon, because I think it's relevant. So, since we last recorded... Amazon laid off how many? Was it like 31,000 people or something? 16,000 people?
It was
with the intent to lay off a fuck ton more.
Yeah. From my understanding, at the very minimum, there is not a single person working at Amazon Game Studios anymore, despite it still existing. Is what I heard, anyways. I suppose I haven't. I'm not a corporate guy. I don't got the insider knowledge. You know, my source is random articles on the internet and Twitter.
I have insider sources, but they don't work in that division of the company. I know some people that work there, though. I didn't hear anything useful other than my friends are okay, which good for them.
That's good.
But they aren't even remotely related to the gaming division at all at Amazon. It's a big company.
It's not nice for me to say that, but yeah. I do feel like that for now is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how the industry is going right now. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about it, like, about people being replaced for XYZ, but realistically, a lot of these companies bloated the fuck over COVID, and they only shaved a little tiny bit of that bloat, you know, a couple years later. It honestly just one of those inevitable moments.
Mm-hmm. We've had multiple that and a lot of these, tech booms.
And to be fair, too, a lot of these people that they hired on were underperforming.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Not to say that everyone they hit was underperforming, as we found out with the Riot Games layoffs last year. They hit several of their higher performing people actually with that one. So it's like, yeah, that's not always the case, but still.
Yeah, and we all hope that the market will correct, right? And the games industry will simply fracture into smaller companies that are actually making fun games rather than, you know, mega corporations that are full of middle management that don't do anything and they just release bad games, right?
Well, right. And that's where a lot of it is. Like, you know, there are a lot of bloat, right? There are a lot of people who have carved positions for themselves that don't actually help the company, right? You know, I will forever go to the well of, like, DEI. Not the same way that a lot of people do, but in reference to the fact that who was most successful for DEI, like, or who was DEI most successful for? Middle-class white women. Mm-hmm. Wasn't most successful for the groups that were promised that it would help.
Yeah. Right.
That, and it honestly didn't make anything better, like, on a quality sense either. It just, it wasn't so much that it uplifted a group of people, it's more that it did so at the, you know, at the detriment of other people.
Well, the problem is it didn't really lift anybody, because the only people that helped, well, like the middle-class white women that it overwhelmingly helped were just people who got jobs as, like, DEI consultants and shit.
Exactly.
Right.
It wasn't even, like,
they not helped. Only that, like, it kind of, like, devalues, like, the, like, programmers that also happen to be white women, because, like, you do a bunch of, like, this DEI hiring to meet your quota, and you get a bunch of, like, white women. Like, these programs are meant to help other, you know, protected classes, right?
Absolutely.
And then it gets flooded with white women, and then the white women who actually, like, are productive workers, right? Like, their work is, like, you have to look twice, and it's, like, that sucks for them a lot.
Right. Well, I mean, and yeah, there's a lot of, like, social political commentary and all that shit. Like, in the world right now. So there's a lot of, like, going on about, like, this person did that, or, you know, by including these people, we've done X, Y, Z. And a lot of it turned out to be bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
yeah,
a lot of it was, like, we're saying that we're helping, you know, uplift these protected classes, which is gross and disgusting in its own way. But, not for uplifting them. That's not what I'm saying it's gross and disgusting for. Before that, well, that'll get clipped out of context if somebody clips it anyways, regardless of what I say. Follow
You're
up.
Cooked.
Right. To be fair, we're not very fine. Careful with our speech patterns. I'm sure there's plenty of things that can be clipped out of context.
Yeah, but the whole point of it is, like, if you're going to have, like, the protected classes or just, you know, trying to uplift people, the phrasing uplifting is kind of filthy, in my opinion, to begin with, right?
Yeah,
because they don't. Oh, they need your help. Gracious white lady.
It's the pedestal idea, right? It's like, oh, I'll put you up here, and you'll be great, and then, but, like, what, at the cost of everyone else below you? And honestly, in a lot of cases, in different ways, maybe not with this DEI stuff specifically, but it's even at the cost of the people who put them there a lot of the times too. So it's like, what do they call that? Social suicide or not? Fuck, what's the word? That's not it. It's something suicide anyways. But
that doesn't narrow it down.
No, you're right. If it comes to mind, I'll say it. But either way, the point there is that it doesn't, it might help, like, a very small select few people, but realistically it just doesn't. Just a blight. At least in the way it's, you know, used, I should say. But yeah.
Okay. So one thing I will say about Amazon from my inside source, I can't say too much, right? But what I was told was a lot of the people that were let go from, like, the technical side of their business, right? Like in web hosting and, like, other parts of the, like, not the package workers and not the gaming division, like the other divisions, were what was described to me as non-technical people, right? So most software companies, Amazon kind of invented this standard, so I think it's fair to describe it, because everyone who does this is copying Amazon. But there's this concept of like a software developer. I think they call it an SWE, software engineer, right? I think that's what they literally call it at Amazon. And then you have, like, a reliability engineer, and you have a technical program manager and a program manager, right? Those are called individual contributors, right? and then you have management, which have levels. It's like two different tracks, right? So like, if you are really high on the individual contributor track, you're probably like some kind of like hotshot. You're cracked, right? And you probably report to someone who's really high on the other chain, right? Whereas if you are, you know, a talented engineer, maybe you are also highly ranked in the IC scale. If you report to like a lower like manager person, then you're probably like so many middle managers separated from the people that make the real decisions, right? And it's a lot of these middle management types that are, like, refuse to learn or to use AI tools or just tools in general. And program managers, not technical program managers, just program managers, right? These people are being left behind, especially by AI, right? Not AI taking their jobs literally, but like people who are willing to use AI can do so much more work than them, right? It's like, imagine working in the tech industry in like the early 2000s, but you're too proud to look things up on Google. It's like, I have a textbook at my desk. It has an index. I can read with my fucking eyes. It's like, that's just backwards thinking, right? So people who reject using AI tools to improve their productivity are kind of like that in today's day and age.
I've compared it to, like, AI in particular to, you know, for artists specifically, to, like, the drawing tablets when those first came out in the, I don't know, probably late 90s, 2000s, whatever. I wasn't an artist, so I have no fucking idea when the digital drawing tablets came out. I apologize. I'm not looking it up. But like, it's very much that same principle, though, right? We've seen it before, and we will see it again the next time there's a great technological shift in an industry.
You know, I just noticed something. Sorry, going back to Concord for a second.
Let's talk shit about them.
When I looked it up on Brave Search to figure out what year this thing came out, I just noticed within the last 24 hours, Kotaku, GameSpot, and Polygon have all written articles on Concord and how a fan-made server has made the game work again.
That's pretty funny.
Who hurt them?
Well, why would you try to do that, though?
Like, why would you subject yourself to that shitty game?
You know what? I don't know who the fuck these people are, but I know what? I want to assume they are the best. Best people they can be. They were only doing it for fucking practice for a better game later down the road. I don't know. I'm coping.
I mean, maybe, super hard. Well, in fairness, you know, we don't know anything because again, that goes back to I'm not fucking looking it up about the people who built the server, right? So whoever put this server up could have been a disgruntled developer. It could have been an actual fan. Could have been like a college student that was just proving a point or fucking whatever. It could have easily been a company themselves. Well, no, they don't exist anymore. My bad.
Well, you know what? It's to some level of devil's advocacy for it. Just because Concord sucked absolute cock. It was bad and it realistically just shouldn't have existed. It's very clear that they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. It was, you know, running on money for however many fucking years they're putting it together. That's a lot, like, enough to kind of prove my point, I think. But Sony shutting it down the way they did was still kind of a dick move.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, they already spent all that fucking money. Why not just let it fucking ride until it like hits a zero player count or something, right? It's like, if there's still people playing it, you fucking made the damn thing. Why not?
Also, it's not like people are going to go on Steam charts and like shame them for it, for their low player counts, because it was a console first game and getting player counts is like not really a thing for console games. In fact, the way PSN handles game servers apparently is so efficient that you can still play Blacklight Retribution.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a much better game.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. But like, it's just one of those weird moments where it's like, yeah, you know what? It could entirely be someone being spiteful and just saying, Sony, you could have fucking kept this game running for like, even if it was 10 fucking, just enough for a single fucking match, you probably could keep it running. I mean, you're right. Blacklight Retribution, to my understanding, even on the Sony network, doesn't see like matches outside of its active period. And a lot of the times it's organized through the fucking Discord. So it's like, I get it, but if that server is allowed to run, Concord probably should be too. I mean, obviously, Blacklight Retribution is a significantly better video game that just didn't take off, unfortunately.
Well, the previous Blacklight didn't do so hot, right? Like,
yeah.
Because, there was a Blacklight before Blacklight Retribution, And that's probably why, if I had to wager a guess.
I think it was also one of those moments where, like, it didn't... It kind of released in, like, that weird area of monetization. Like, you could buy the guns, you could buy the parts of the guns, and it's like, and that was one of the selling points, was that you could piece together your own kit, your own gun, and then it's like, oh, but this all costs money. And back then, that was just fucking unheard of. Like, microtransactions in general were still just really taking off. So it left probably a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. It just wasn't, like, so popular to a point that people were bitching and moaning about it all over the place, right? So it's just, people who stuck with it were people who just really fucking liked the game and liked the gunplay and didn't really give a shit about that, or, you know, in spite of it, even potentially. And I honestly think that's what killed it. Because later on in its lifespan, it actually did see some resurgence when they made it easier to get all that shit and it not cost you an arm and a leg. But, you know, it's the too little too late moment. It's like they fixed it, but there's so many people that either didn't know why they quit, or they didn't like it, and they weren't, and it's just enough for them to not, like, you know, principal moment, right? It's like, well, you fucked me once, I ain't gonna come get fucked again. And I think that's honestly where BLR went.
All right, so I have a list here from Wikipedia of... Wait, this isn't right?
Wait a second.
I'm looking for a list of Sony games.
Wikipedia wouldn't lie.
Wikipedia never lies.
Hey, aren't we getting a Wikipedia competitor that'll probably be just as bad but different?
I mean, take your pick. Fandom's right there.
Oh, no, I thought Elon was making one.
He might be powered
by Grok or whatever.
Yeah, Grokpedia is like an AI-generated wiki. But no, the funny thing is that Jimmy Wales, right, co-founder of Wikipedia, he was on an interview the other day, and he up and left within 48 seconds. Do you want to know why?
I'm willing to listen.
So this interviewer, the host of the show that he was on, was like, so are you founder or co-founder of Wikipedia? And he gets so mad. He just has a bunch of, like, nonsense answers, and he ends up giving up on the interview. This guy was like, because he was giving a bunch of, like, hand wavy, like, you know, I've already answered this, blah, 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 blah. We don't need to talk about this. And then he's like, but, like, for a thing like Wikipedia, doesn't the truth matter?
Wow.
And he got so mad, he walked off, and it's like, yeah, he is the co-founder. The other guy doesn't talk to him.
Wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to put up with somebody like that, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no. I mean, you better be paying me an ass load of money. And from my understanding, Wikipedia basically rides the line.
Well, Wikipedia, you might be interested to know, makes a shit ton of money, actually.
Yeah, it does. Oh, shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly through donations. Because they keep begging, and people are stupid enough to believe them. When they're like, oh, well, we just need a little bit more money to keep the servers on for the next decade or fucking whatever.
It's like, bro, sitting at the coffee shop, he's like, no, listen, lady, give me a second, I own Wikipedia, they're gonna donate any minute,
dude. No, it's just wild. No,
I just fucking,
well, do a lot of donations. You know, this does tie back into the DEI thing, right? Like, Wikipedia spends most of their the money that they spend most, right, is on, like, DEI education and shit. Again, it goes back to the I'm not looking it up right this second kind of thing, because I don't want to hold everything up. But yeah, like, yeah. I watched some videos on it when they were doing their last round of, if you don't give us money, we're going to have to shut down Wikipedia. It's something like, it's a ludicrously low amount of money to keep those servers running every year.
And yeah, all the editors that contribute content are unpaid. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are they paying for? Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's funny because I kind of wanted to go to bat for Wikipedia over the years, but it just hasn't been much of a reason to. Like, you know,
those old teachers were right. Don't cite Wikipedia as a source.
Yeah.
No, Wikipedia is not a source. Helps. A lot of times, the things it's giving you as, like, destinations, like when you're, you know, because we all did that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where we're like, let's go to the place where it comes from. You know, a lot of that shit also is not real.
Yeah. Like, I used to have a lot of faith in Wikipedia. That was all shattered in 2014. It's like, I was there for those events, and they're just lying about them. And it's like, that's not what fucking happened. Like, it's crazy.
And Wikipedia always should have just been impartial. Even with a dickhead CEO or co-founder at the helm. Like, if it were impartial, I don't think people would really give a shit.
Yeah, but now it's like a propaganda engine because people just take what's on Wikipedia as fact, and so the editors just go ham, and it's they just say whatever the fuck they want, and then all of a sudden it's true. It's on Wikipedia. It's like it's not right.
Yeah, that's a fact. You can Wikipedia that.
Yeah, look it up on Grokpedia. That's the ironic thing is that Grokpedia has a more fair article on Wikipedia than Wikipedia has a fair article on Grok.
Well, of course. Yeah, probably. Although I hesitate to think that Grokpedia be any better. I've seen what Elon does when he gets pushed back.
It pains me to say anything Elon has done in a good light. However, an AI-generated Wikipedia is a fucking great idea. It just sucks that he's the one that did it first.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of the other big AI companies aren't really all that much better than Elon. They're just not in the limelight.
They have a better product, too. Like, Grok is good. It's not bad. However, there are other AI chatbots out there that are better in their own ways. But
we have ways.
But that doesn't matter today. I wanted to get back to talking about the golden joysticks. So there's a Sony category, and there's like a Nintendo and an Xbox, and like I think there's a PC category and a Universal category. And going back to Concord, that's how we got on this subject, right? It's like, I don't know what the fuck Sony's doing. It's like, I'm not sure how this past year they've worked to recoup their Concord losses, because it is a factor of millions. But turns out they didn't have to do anything, because their competition just folded anyway over nothing. I don't understand. This year, a year in review, right, has been fucking insane, because like we have Xbox, who, you know, proudly you will own nothing, but you'll be treated, you know, better than Sony, which is still true. But like they increased the price of their hardware without improving their hardware. And like,
well, so did everybody else, right?
Yeah, but they didn't have a good reason.
I was just making the joke that everybody did it this year.
And it's like they've given up. Like, now we're about to have Halo on PS5, which, I mean, that's great. I'm not against that idea, but it's like they have no competitive spirit at all, right?
No.
I don't foresee any reason to own an Xbox. There's an argument to be had to own the Xbox ROG Ally, especially if you have a sizable Xbox collection you want to break into PC gaming, right?
Sure.
The ROG Ally is a great, you know, segue into being on a PC and still having your Xbox library. I know if you have Windows, you can do this too, but I would never recommend Windows to somebody. also, handhelds are fucking awesome. And then Nintendo, you know, they released the Nintendo Switch 2, which on paper sounds great, and they did all the right things, but then post-launch, it's none of the right things, right? It's like so many game key cards, like, I appreciate that it's, you know, there's a warning label on the box because I can just not buy those, right? But it's like, there's too many. There's very few actual games that you could slot in. The backwards compatibility is good, even if it's software-based. But, like, I don't understand why they had to go so hard on the handheld mode. Because, like, the Switch 2, it's, like, the resolution miles ahead of the Steam Deck, right? The resolution on the Switch 2 is, like, comparable to a TV. It's, like, 1080p yeah. or better, right? So imagine playing Cyberpunk 2077 at 60 frames per second in 1080p. Steam Deck doesn't do that. The Steam Deck has a way lower resolution because it's a fucking handheld, right? Yeah. You do not need a high resolution. That is a waste of clock cycles. But the Switch 2 was like, nah, it looks good on paper. Do it. And so you could play Cyberpunk handheld for like a whole 2 hours before it overheats and runs out of battery. Amazing.
There's something you're just not going to do, though. Let's be real.
I know. You're going to plug it into the one dock that they give you because all of the other docks don't work.
Yeah, how dare you try to use something that's not what they want you to do. Yeah.
And it's like, you could take the old Nintendo Switch power cable that you're supposed to plug into your dock, and you could plug it into your Switch 2, and it will work. But I think if you plug in a third-party one, it doesn't. I'm not quite sure about that one.
Nintendo is waging war on their people or on their like user base for some fucking reason.
Yeah, they went out of their way to make other docks not work.
Oh yeah, well they went out of their way to punish people too. Like, what was it? Where they're bricking consoles over fucking nothing.
Fuck yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then after all of that, here comes Gabe Newell, and he goes, "Hey everybody, what if you just didn't buy any of that and you just buy a Steam machine?" So
no, it is not called a Steam machine. It is the GameCube.
The GameCube. I can't believe my fucking eyes, dude. They announced this shit like a day or two ago, right? So this is breaking news, dear listeners. I know I'm going to edit this tomorrow. It's currently the year of our Lord, 1114, 2025, whatever. I got distracted by the date. That's a number I see a lot.
1114. No, you're good.
No,
you're
it's fine.
I see a lot of dates, too.
Bro's about to start reading Bible scriptures.
No, I swear, I look up at the microwave. There's a solid chance it's 1114. I don't know why. That's just the time of day I look at the microwave and it just keeps happening. I don't know. That I just spaced out for a second there. No, but Valve released a video where they're like, hey, we're announcing some stuff. And they just went on. It's like a 6-minute video. They announced three things. And oh my God, I want all three. So let's roll back before. Let's not talk about the GameCube just now. Let's first Steam controller. It's everything I wanted. They took the Steam Deck and got rid of the screen, smushed the handles together. It's perfect. It was already perfect. And then they made it better with like Hall Effect joysticks and looks like they angled the touchpads a little bit so it's not literally squished. It's like a little angular. It looks super comfortable. And I mean, if you don't have a Steam Deck or you've never held a Steam Deck and you see that controller and it's like that looks really bulky like OG Xbox, don't worry. Those touchpads are fucking important. Honestly, that's all you need to comfortably control a desktop computer with a controller. I've done it. Like the Steam Deck, they have that shit locked in. It's like, oh yeah, right trigger is left click, like shooting a gun in a video game. It's like fucking perfect. Anyone could do it. And now I'm looking forward to controlling my computer with such a controller. And just to make things even better, they have the Steam Frame, which is a new headset. Now I have a Valve Index. That thing's really heavy. And it requires base stations, and you have to be hooked up to a computer with a big, long cable, right? That's what I liked about my Meta Quest 3, was that the computer was, you know, in the headset, and you could walk around, you didn't need base stations. It was, like, clearly next-gen in comparison, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this new thing, the Steam Frame, is like the Quest 3, but it runs SteamOS and has SD card slot. So, and just to put this in perspective, the only VR game I, like, take seriously is Beat Saber, but I love getting custom songs and shit. I had hundreds, right, on my setup.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to dust off that old computer and plug it into the base stations. I would much rather get it on the MetaQuest 3. But the reason I don't do that is because to mod the game, first, you need to jailbreak your MetaQuest. Well, it's not jailbreak. It's like you have to go into developer mode. Void your warranty, right?
Yeah.
Then.
Oh, no.
You have to sideload the software onto the headset using a computer, right? Which probably isn't too difficult, but like my only Windows computer is currently unplugged on the floor and I don't know if I'm plugging it back in. right? And it's like, okay, all that software was probably made for Windows and I don't want to fuck with it. And then there's more steps. Like I didn't continue reading because it's like that's already too complicated. So this new headset just runs SteamOS, which my Steam Deck runs. And it's like, it's just a Linux desktop. Anything you could do on your Steam Deck, you can do on a Steam Frame with the same ease, the same fucking steps. Because it's just a computer, a normal ass computer with like a start menu and everything. So that's a fucking genius move. And you can expand your storage. You can put like a terabyte high speed SD card in there. And then you can just have room for everything. Whereas the MetaQuest 3 has like what? 256 gigs or something. It's like really small. And you know how big VR games can get. It's pretty wild. Yeah. So expandable storage is huge. And honestly, the way they advertise it, it's like, I don't even think they showed that many VR games. They showed a guy sitting on a couch with a virtual screen in front of him and he was playing just a regular ass video game. That's what I would be doing with it. That sounds fucking amazing.
I mean, I think at the end of the day too, that's one of the things that a lot of the VR headsets lost. Because they were very specific in their usage, right?
Yeah.
It was like, you're going to watch VR 360 videos, or you're going to play VR video games that were built specifically for our headset. Mm-hmm. And then I guess a little later, there was a, you know, it wasn't always headset specific, but like, it's like, that's really skewed. Like, yeah. You could probably play a lot of non-VR games in a VR headset and still get some value out of it. Might as well just give the players the fucking option.
Right. And what's it called? With the MetaQuest 3, like I still, I know it's a habit I should probably kick at some point, but I do enjoy a good scroll on TikTok every once in a while. There's no TikTok app on the Meta Quest 3. You have to open the web browser and you get the desktop version, and it sucks.
Yeah. they, you know what's weird? They did make the desktop version of TikTok a little better. You can now control the volume.
It's, you know, an improvement.
But, it is still so ass.
But there's also Reels, which is like Meta's version of TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And the Reels app is just as bad. Oh, on the Meta Quest.
It's not great.
It's Meta's own app on Meta's own hardware, and it's just as bad as web browser TikTok. Like, how do they fuck it up that bad? I don't understand it.
Like, nobody cared.
I want to lay in a recliner with the headset plugged into an outlet, and I want to watch Netflix like I'm goddamn Neo in the Matrix, you know, before his initial wake up, and just like vegetate. Like, that's what I want a headset for. And it's like, it doesn't even do that well. It does it sort of well. It's not that bad. But like, what Valve is offering here is like leagues above what that does. And it's like, it makes me not want to buy any accessories for the Meta Quest. Cause I was contemplating like, oh, I can get a more comfortable strap, or maybe I can get a couple accessories here and there to make the experience a little bit more comfortable. But it's like, holy shit, I'd rather get a Steam Frame and then like just give the Quest to like a kid or something. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but I'm currently the only one that uses the thing. And then moving on, they have the Steam Machine. Steam Machine is Cube. Hence the GameCube. It even looks like the size of a GameCube, even. And it's got like swappable faceplates. Dbrand has already jumped on board and showed their like companion cube skin and shit. The internet was full of snarky people saying, why didn't you make it orange? It could have been the orange box. Missed opportunity.
I don't think it's a missed opportunity at all. I think Gabe doesn't want to be tied to Half-Life because Half-Life 3 is never fucking happening.
Well, right. I mean, less than that, it's just one of those moments where, like, if you keep writing the same joke over and over again, it's probably not gonna go over too well. It'd be better to just tie it to your brand.
Yeah.
Yep. It is. But also, like, we're gonna hit a point in, if we haven't already, where people that are going to be buying these things don't know what Half-Life is.
Or, that's well, true. I mean, more than that, I mean, fuck, there's probably people who play Half-Life and don't know what the orange box is, even.
That hurts my head.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree, but, like, that's a very realistic possibility.
You're right.
Yeah, so, well, of course.
I do want to point out, some people have been bitching online about the specs, about the 8 GB of VRAM. Right, they're like, oh, that's not enough. And it's like, well, you're not playing fucking Monster Hunter. It's gonna be fine, right? 8 GB of VRAM is plenty. If you're playing a game that requires more, it's not optimized. Refund it.
Yeah, it's probably Unreal 5.
That too. And so the way they described it in the video, because they didn't go over specs too much in the video, they said it was 6 times as powerful as a Steam Deck. So we're going by that logic. Let me tell you about something that I did recently with the boys in Discord, right? So we're currently coming up with a plan to replace Destiny's computer. That's the computer that's unplugged behind me that we may not plug back in. And lately, she's been playing on my Steam Deck. I think I mentioned that in the last episode. Now, the plan is we should just get her own Steam Deck, probably an OLED model that has a nice screen. So that way she can actually enjoy it handheld. But also, like, I have this projector screen on my right that's, like, where her desk used to be. That's basically her spot now, right? Now, I wanted to make sure it was capable, because, like, she's been playing, like, Fields of Mistria lately a lot. She's probably playing it right now. I don't know. Nah, I'm kidding. But, what's it called? I think the most graphically intensive game that she plays, I mean, if it's not the Dawn of War HD remaster, it's probably Warframe, right? But we're endgame in Warframe, so we needed to test it. And so what we did was we put it in desktop mode. We moved the dock down to like the side of the couch, so it's like at shoulder level, like with the armrest, right? And it functions as a second monitor. And what we did was we went into desktop mode, we opened Discord, dragged it over to the tiny screen, and then on the projector, full screened Warframe. And we did an endgame game mode called Deep Archimedia and Temporal Archimedia. If you know what those are, you know what those are. But they're endgame game modes that you can do once a week in Warframe. And it has crazy density of enemies that are of the highest base level of all game modes in the game. And it's just an absolute slog. It's fun. But you have to know what you're doing to succeed, which is probably why it's fun. And we blazed through both modes, no problem, in voice chat on Discord, like more than one app open. I know with a handheld computer, that's kind of a concern, having more than one app open, right? But it was fine. And so if they're going to sell the GameCube that's six times as powerful, it is more than enough to be like baby's first PC. Like yeah. This might be like the entry-level PC that my kids have.
And if it's priced well enough, because like what was one of the things I told the guys, it's like, you know, honestly, like I don't want to jump and just be like, you know, oh, Gabe good, Valve good, Steam good.
I know there's plenty to criticize. I know
it means that Steam Machine is going to be perfect, and the controller won't have drift, and the VR won't make my neck hurt. I don't know. I'm just fucking thinking of random shit. But you get my point. It's like, I don't got it in my hands. We don't even know how much any of it costs yet. It's to my knowledge. I actually did a quick Google search to double check if they had dropped a price, but they haven't. People speculated that it'll be like 800 to 1,000, which that's about where I was like, it's like, you know, it'll probably be about 1,000 is what I was thinking. But like, if they wanted to do a loss leader situation, which I guess Valve kind of could, I don't know if that's a great idea. They could probably have it be as cheap as like $500. I have no idea if that's a good idea or not, though.
They could. I think what's more realistically going to happen is they're going to set a price. It might be a little bit too steep, like in the 700, 800 range for the Cube, right?
Yeah.
And they might just hold, right? Because that's what they did with the Steam Deck. Like, yeah, sure, they made a couple new models with OLED, and there's like the only difference between the different LCD models and the different OLED models is how much hard drive space there is. The internals are all the same, meaning they can mass produce them, right? And so it might release at a bit too high of a price point, but they're probably not going to make a second one for a long, long time. Until there's an affordable generational leap that they can put inside of it, right? So I don't need one right away because my kids are too young. But I also don't need one for myself because my computer is nice and we already have a plan to have Destiny have a Steam Deck, which is enough for her, right? So it's like, I could see myself in the future getting one of these for each of my kids, and that could be like a computer in their own room.
Yeah.
Because like, they have desks already, and it's like, oh, just, you know, put it on the desk. It's a tiny cube. What a great idea, right? It's like, I really hope they stick around, those GameCubes.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, without any like pessimism or like speculation, I think it is a perfectly good idea. And I think honestly, it's the right move for Valve.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, well, fuck, we talked about it a little bit, like all these other giants like Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo have shot themselves in the foots in different ways. Or feet, sorry, foots is yeah, all right.
Yeah, and
look, I caught myself
on that one. Anyways,
and Microsoft's panicking because Valve is releasing all new hardware that doesn't rely on Windows.
Exactly, and Valve really just has to do it. All they have to do is put it out. They just have like, and then they just throw their hands up and they're like, if you'd like it, great. If you don't, you don't gotta buy it. We're not, you know, we're not gonna shame you. It's, you know, you're not gonna, there's no FOMO. There's no Steam Deck or Steam Machine or GameCube exclusives. So it's like, who the fuck cares? There's genuinely no reason to be mad at it one way or the other, right? So it's just like one of those moments.
Mm.
Absolutely. So I guess regardless of any shortcomings or bad things about it, it's not gonna matter.
Exactly. And it's like, if it wasn't for Valve, Microsoft wouldn't be at a disadvantage because they could just tank the console market and be like, oh, I guess everyone's on PC now, right? Welcome to our party. And it's like, well, now it's like, that's not as simple. Like, yeah, sure, they still have effectively a monopoly. Their market share is so huge. But it's like, nobody is using Windows 11 willingly. No one's excited about that.
God, no.
Yeah. It's like
their
public sentiment has totally shifted on them, and Valve is offering an alternative. Is it as good? Not yet. But like, I'm not impeded at all. That's actually a great segue, because speaking of not being impeded at all, I've been, you know, without any trouble, I just had to follow one simple little guide. I was able to get DNA working.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It actually worked. And now, the only thing that doesn't work about DNA, which is, for those who don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, is Duet Night Abyss. Is there are these pop-ups in the menu that I think open a web browser inside of the game. Those don't load. So, like, the notices or whatever, I can't read those.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think anyone ever fucking clicks those anyways, so you're that's probably fine.
But, like, if they ever said anything important, I wouldn't be able to read them, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's probably not that big a deal.
Everything else about the game works just fine. And, oh man, we should talk about it. I figured you probably want to go first, Vic, because you started before I did.
Yeah, you guys can talk about this. I'm going to take a break. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be here in the background.
But yeah, no,
I'm right at that place that I told you about, by the way. Like, that's right where I left off last I played.
I think I'm going to avoid spoiling the story because, I mean, I guess for anyone who didn't follow it, it was originally going to be a gacha game. It was announced at one of the Game Awards or maybe summer, one of Jeff's shows, anyways, a couple years back. And it looked fine. And people criticized it because it looked a lot like Warframe. I mean, who the fuck didn't, you know, like Genshin got the Breath of the Wild and so on for, you know. Mm-hmm. This game probably gets a little closer to Warframe than Breath of the Wild, or than Genshin did to Breath of the Wild. But regardless. But they decided not to do the gacha. They're like, fuck it. We're not going to do it. We don't want to do it. No FOMO. Only cosmetic gacha. And the cosmetic gacha, I think, lasts like 2 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like if you really wanted to get a skin, there's really no rush, not like a crazy rush anyways.
I'd like to point out that it's a good thing that they dropped the gacha mechanic and energy, because all gacha games have an energy mechanic, right? If, for example, if you've played Genshin, there's resin, right? And what this energy mechanic does is, in these gacha games, there's usually some dedicated game mode, right? For Genshin, it's the domains. For Nikkei, it's like the battle tower or whatever the hell. And it's like those game modes are dedicated to getting you certain resources that you need to either level up your weapons, level up your characters, or do some other important thing. But in Duet Night Abyss, those are all in, you know, really specific game modes. It looks just like you'd expect from a gacha game, but it doesn't charge you any energy. You could just do it forever.
Yep.
So I'll ascend a character and it's like, oh, I can level him up 10 more levels. And it's like, oh, I don't have the resource. I guess I'm doing this mission for 20 minutes. And it's like, it's not going to stop me. I don't have to wait for tomorrow. I can just do it now. And
exactly.
That's why I haven't finished the story yet, because I keep getting distracted by grindable content.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of people complain about the grind, but when I compare it to we'll just compare it to Warframe. I feel like early Warframe had a lot of that same grind. I feel like in modern Warframe, we don't think about it as much because, like, if you need polymer, you got it. You know, if I need gallium, I got it. Like, I don't need to go fucking farm it. But I remember back in the day when you needed that shit, you could go, like, 8 missions and not get a single fucking piece of what you needed sometimes.
And this would run, like, an assassinate mission against, like, Alad V, and we would just go over and over and over again.
Yeah. And to be fair with you, I think Duet Night Abyss mission times are far shorter than Warframe's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not anymore. Honestly, today, you can run a fucking Warframe mission in like a fucking second if you got the right shit going. But
at the beginning, you don't. Not at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Like, so
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I don't think it's that grindy. I mean, it's hard to say. I think once we can put them in, actually compare them like side by side, I think that might be a little better way of looking at it. But either way.
I think, Vic, it's because you and I were in the fucking trenches with that Warframe game. Sure. And Duet Night Abyss is way less of a grind than Warframe, but like all these other, like, you know, gacha curious people that are like, oh, let's give DNA a try.
They've never touched it before.
They've never played anything like Warframe, and their reaction is, oh, this is too much of a grind. What the hell?
They're getting hit with that fatigue. Like, if the energy systems didn't exist in these gacha games, they'd probably have similar, if not worse, grinds, honestly.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the things that I always used to tell some of the boys. They're like, I hate energy systems. I wish they were gone. It's like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, player choice is better. But, like, honestly, think about, like, all the stupid people that wouldn't know better to, like, think, like, oh, no, this takes a long fucking time, but at least I can do it whenever the fuck I feel like it. They're going to look at it and be like, this takes too long. But an energy system forces them to, or actually, it just straight up removes that thought from their brain, right? It's like, I can't really fault games for doing it, I guess, in that realm, even if I would prefer them not to. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm glad doing Night Abyss does it that way. But I mean, speaking of which, though, you not getting to the story, what? It's a fucking, I don't know how to put it into words. At first, I wanted to say, you know, I was at odds with myself. I was like, oh, you know, this story, I'm really enjoying it. I'm actually having a fun with it. I'm having a blast. I'm thinking, like, yeah, but am I having a blast? And, like, but it's a gacha story. So maybe, you know, honeymoon phase, You know, I was doubting myself because I was same thing with Genshin. I was fucking blown away. And then when I look back, it's like, yeah, that really wasn't as good as I thought it was. It's like, yeah, no, maybe I jumped the gun on it a little bit. But but no, I think it's been a fair enough time now that I should think Do It Night Abyss. It's not a good story for a, or what was a gacha game, for, you know, it actually just straight up fucking good. I know you haven't gotten to the rest of it yet, but like, it only gets better.
Yeah, what I've seen so far is like surprisingly good. I was like at the edge of my seat, like, oh my God, what happens next? Like,
yeah, no, it's like, what the fuck? It's like, I was not expecting that, especially when, like, I guess for our viewers or listeners, when you first get into the gameplay is a little floaty. It's not, I don't know if I'd say it's clunky, but it's definitely clear that it's not finished yet. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem, obviously, especially if you don't really give a shit about stories in video games at all, regardless of how good it is. There's definitely some passes that are necessary on gameplay to get it to a point where it's like, yeah, good, I guess. But there's enough there, especially if you really like grindy games, you're not really going to pay attention to that, because in combat, movement doesn't feel too bad. But I don't know, if you're looking for a good story, though, and you don't really care about that, I think Do It Night Abyss is really solid. If not, if you're more into gameplay, I'd probably wait a couple patches and see where it ends up.
Yeah, like, I think gameplay-wise, Warframe's definitely a lot smoother, but they have, like, more than a decade of, like, development on them, you know?
Yeah, early Warframe did have a lot of clunkiness to it, now that I think about it. I mean, I don't think it was very floaty the way Do It Night Abyss is. I think it was a different situation, but...
And the anime art style is not an excuse, because there's ZZZ exists. I know it's a different kind of game. It's more like Devil May Cry, if you ask me. But, like, the art style is not the reason why it's clunky.
Yeah, I was going to say, a better example, same engine, it would be Wuthering Waves.
Okay. I haven't got around to that one yet. It's on my list.
When Tree hopped in, he's like, what the fuck, Victor? Are you playing Wuwa? And I'm like, no, this is doing Night Abyss. he's like, what? And then he immediately was like, oh, this game kind of like Dynasty Warriors. And like, yes, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
People out here are only comparing it to Warframe, but it has a lot in common with Dynasty Warriors as well. So if you're into that.
Yeah.
Might be worth checking out too.
The enemy density is like solid from the beginning. It's like, there's enough enemies, and I'm really happy about how many I'm hitting.
Oh, and when you hit them, they all fly all over the fucking place and ragdoll. Mm, perfect ragdolling, yeah. Too.
Like, we do get that in Warframe as well, but not until you're a little further in. It's not at the beginning. In the beginning, they only send you a couple enemies at a time, and they might kill you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't feel strong at all. Whereas now, like, compared to, you know, when I started Warframe to now, I'm like, you know, a walking super weapon every frame that I play, just because I have all this investment. Right. Yeah. And it's like, I expect similar from DNA, but I felt strong from the beginning. And I'm only getting stronger, as it were.
Yeah, there's definitely some challenges in DNA that will eventually, like, hit you and you're like, oh, if I get hit two more times, I'm dead. Uh-oh. That's not happened before. But but they also do give a lot of, especially because, like, if people are familiar with, like, Zenless or Wuwa or Genshin or whatever, like, you know how you roll multiple copies and etc. But you do the same thing in DNA, except you're not rolling for it, you're farming for it, and it doesn't cost you any money. But I think as a result of them pulling back on their gacha systems, they made that shit a lot more lucrative. It's a lot more like enticing. So I think a lot of power is hidden behind that, and I feel like a lot of people aren't going to quite grasp that right away.
Yeah, I wonder if they're gonna take after Warframe, because something that I didn't realize until they admitted it on the dev stream is that the majority of, like, people spending plat, like, that's how they measure money, right? Because, yeah, sure, they make money when people buy plat, right? But, like, they have a bunch of metrics on, like, what people spend their plat on and what drives them to buy more, and they have metrics on, like, who's a repeat buyer, who's not, what do they do with their platinum, right? And what the trends tell the developers is they are spending it on Forma. Which is why the Forma system is the way it is, and the only recent change that they made to Forma was that when it's a silver drop in your relic, you get 2 blueprints, right?
That's true.
It's because someone asked on a dev stream, why can't we build more than one at a time? Why can't we get that 3-pack or the 5-pack like we have for Cyphers, right? And the reason was, people spend platinum on that, and that keeps us alive. They're like, we would be financially ruined if we changed that, and they were, like, really transparent about it.
Honestly, that's the kind of thing you don't want to hear, but it is the real. That's real.
Keeps lights on.
They need to make money. I mean, it's one of those like damn you don't moments that we always talked about with Warframe. It's like, do I like Warframe's monetization wholesale? No, not really. But at the end of the day, it's what they picked. It's what's keeping the lights on. It's what keeping development. And it's not like they're giving up on the game. It's not like they, you know, threw out this monetization practice and then cashed in and fucking dipped. You know, it's the money is at least in part definitely going back to the game, which was not, you know, we can't say the same for a lot of gacha games.
Right. And the question is, will DNA find their forma, their item that people will be willing to spend a little bit of money to keep flowing, to get stronger or whatever they need it for, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I haven't found that item yet. Maybe I'm not strong enough.
It's definitely not their version of formas either, because at current, I think every build in the game, just based on like what we have access to currently, you only need like two, maybe three for like a few characters. And you were given two just for leveling up the character. And you get two for leveling up every weapon for the weapon-specific one, too. So it's like, that's... Unless they, like, start making it so that you need to, like, do, like, full form of builds the same way, you know, we are in Warframe now, it probably won't ever see the kind of prominence, I don't think. Especially because you can grind them out the same way you can in...
Warframe.
In Warframe. So it's like, yeah, I don't know.
They need to figure that out if they're going to stay afloat. Because, like, yeah, sure, the cosmetics make money, too. But it is not what drives Warframe's economy.
I mean, I know in a recent dev posting, they mentioned that they want to release, like, an ass load of cosmetics. And they want to price them somewhere between $1 to $10. And they're just, you buy them. You don't gotcha them. You just straight buy them. Which, if they're willing to pump out enough of those, and they're able to give us enough characters at the same time, it might work out. I mean, their characters are not nearly as complex as Warframe's, so it's possible they could. But that's an uphill battle. Like that's you know, formas. There's no development time put into formas probably since they were in, you know, brought into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a solid investment.
I mean,
a very solid investment for them.
Yeah, they're not afraid to reinvent it because what they had before wasn't working. If you're ever curious on what they had before. Go look up Total Biscuit's Warframe video. I think it was because of his video that they even changed it.
Yeah, I think
it was bad the way they had it before. It didn't make sense. And they totally changed it, and it made the game a lot better. The question is, will Duet Night Abyss do the same? I know they're a foreign company. They're definitely not American. I think they're Chinese. Singaporean, well, maybe? I don't know.
Depends on how you section off your Chinese. From my understanding, they're from Hong Kong.
Oh, okay. Well, still, I know Eastern developers, like, they aren't necessarily as flexible about user feedback. And that's a bit of a stereotype. I'm not saying that's an Eastern thing, right? That's just the trend, right?
No, I think there's some truth in that. And I don't think that's, like a bad thing. I mean, mm-hmm. It just is a fact. I mean, we just talked about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Don't get me wrong. Western companies are stubborn, too. That's how Concord failed, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
The feedback was clear. Your characters are ugly. And they doubled down. So, and now they're gone.
Get that DEI in there, man.
Yeah. But, no, I think it's a solid game. If they can tighten up gameplay and then find a way to continue to stay afloat, it'll be a really solid game. And it's nice because I think Warframe, not the... you know, dog on Warframe or anything, but like, I think they really did need some competition.
Yeah.
Like something to kind of like relight the fire. They still have some decent updates. Again, it's like I said, I'm not trying to shit on them or anything, mm-hmm. but
this isn't a post-mortem on the death of Warframe. Yeah. It is alive and well.
Yeah. But competition is great. And I think look at PlanetSide 2, a perfect example, right? Imagine PlanetSide 2 had like legitimate competition.
We'd be playing it because PlanetSide 2 is really behind in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and it would give like some contrast, or hell, maybe we'd have a PlanetSide 3 right now because the dev studio would have been like, oh, we need to compete, and maybe our money should go there instead, and not into a fucking battle royale. Like that was a fucking horrible idea. What the fuck? Anyways, besides the point.
But like, there's other competition for Warframe. Like, remember what's that game called? It was a Nexon game.
Yeah. I'm sure it's doing great.
I forget the name.
Final the Descent the... or something like that.
First Ascendant.
First Ascendant, that's what it was.
Yeah. The one that they try. They were the first ones that tried to use boobs to fight Warframe.
Yeah, they they kind of used that. I feel like we talked about it before, so I won't go into it. They were the kind of guys that were like, look, guys, we're not DEI. Buy our game. And then there just wasn't much substance to it.
There really wasn't. Like,
and some people were like, oh, boobs. Yeah. And they're like, oh, wait a minute.
That's all there is.
I installed it, but I never brought myself to actually launch it for the first time. So I ended up just deleting it.
Very predatory in their monetization, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
Like, you had to pay for colors, and they were one-time use. And DNA also has that one-time use color, and I don't like that.
DNA does do that, which I don't like. But at the very least, you can acquire most. I think there's only two colors in the game, the white and black, that kind of require you to spend. The rest of them you can just kind of get. It's not great. I'm with you on that.
But the first Descendant, you don't even pick the color. Like, you earn them at random, and you have them or you don't. It's kind of like getting dyes in Guild Wars, yeah. But dyes in Guild Wars are reusable.
And more importantly, they didn't cost me fucking money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they cost you in-game money at the market if you wanted a really specific hue. But, like, it's fine.
They didn't cost me real-life money to get... I mean, yeah, you could. I know that, mm-hmm. but, like, they didn't.
There was enough to do in Guild Wars 2 that you didn't have to spend to get gold. You could just earn gold by playing. And we were never wanting. Like, at first, I was a little wanting. Like, before I got the Griffin, I feel like I never had enough gold. After I finally saved up enough to get the Griffin, I never ran out of gold again.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, sometimes you just need a small loan of
15 gold?
Yeah, a million. No, I was going to say 15 gold. Oh, yeah, was that same all thing. I was just, no, he's referencing a very specific event.
I'm talking about the Griffin. It cost 15 gold.
No, it cost 100.
Oh, was it 100? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm off by one.
That's what you're getting the 15 number, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. I funded your wife's Griffin.
Yeah. And then I think it was our old friend Kyle. He actually listened to the last couple episodes. So hi, if you're listening. Well, he bought Kyle. My Griffin. And I'm very thankful. I rode it for many years before I stopped playing Guild Wars 2. Don't get me wrong.
Well, did I farm out my own gold for the microphone? I don't remember. It might have been Sam or Roger that bought mine, in all fairness.
I could have literally funded the whole guild.
I know. I mean, well, to be fair, I think before we all quit, I think, like, in the last dregs of us playing, we were all pretty rich. I ended up going broke as fuck because I made an investment, but I wasn't playing. And I listed it on the market and just prayed. And then when I logged back in, like, years later, I didn't sell. Mm-hmm. So I got fucked.
Just got to get on your hands and knees for an interest-free loan from the Bank of Symbolite.
Well, remember, the Bank of Symbolite has very little liquid.
It's frozen right now.
Yeah.
What happened?
He just doesn't play.
Yeah.
Oh, like that's yeah.
I'm same sure thing that happened to the rest of us.
If he logged in, I dread to imagine how rich he is.
Well, it like I said, it could may not be liquid because he like I invested a lot of it back into the market, right? I was more liquid than him because I didn't give a shit compared to him. I got a small loan of a couple of rare drops.
Uh huh. You know, Bank of Symbolite would be a great episode title, but to earn it, we got to talk more about Guild Wars 2. Just how would you describe how rich this man was? Like, because it hurt my head to think about every time. Like every time he would show us, like it was a lot.
Well, he did a lot of spreadsheets.
Yeah. So I guess we're writing the biography on Symbolite. He fucking. So when we play Guild Wars 2, he started learning how to play the market. Like, to the point that, like, every copper, every silver that crossed his fingers, he would, like, try to... He went out of his way to make that money, right? It's like, oh, I could buy now and spend an extra gold. And he's like, no, don't do that, Victim. What the fuck are you doing? It's like, you can save that extra gold if you just wait 15 minutes. And it's like, okay, Simbo, all right, okay. And he was right a lot of times. I mean, realistically, we started taking his advice and we all made a fuck ton of fucking money. So it's like, yeah, okay, he was right. But like,
it's like having your own personal financial advisor in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. as Rick was saying though, like he didn't have it always very liquid. So we use the API key on a website that kind of tracked the value of things. And his account was like, it was past gold cap from my understanding, like by a sizable amount. Where that was and even what gold cap was, I don't remember. The numbers are jumbled in my head at this point.
I don't remember if it was a 3-digit number or a 4-digit number of gold.
It was definitely a 4 or 5 gold cap, like actual one. No, you could have.
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
An obscene amount, but yeah, he was above gold cap, if I remember correctly. Like
just
I said,
usually not in his pocket.
Yeah. Well, right. No, I was definitely more liquid than Sim was. Not due to anything. Like I said, due to a small loan of RNG Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Not just once, but twice. yeah, no. Okay, Guild Wars 2 has legendary items. There are these things that you craft into said legendary item called a precursor. I was given a small loan by RNG Jesus of 2 precursors. One was one of the semi-popular ones, and the other one was one of the really not-so-popular ones, but still worth quite a bit of money. And then from there, I started playing the market because I had enough capital to start buying and selling, you know, day trading, basically, with, skins.
That was the real gameplay for Guild Wars 2, day trading on the market.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I have to give some praise. Like, the Black Lion Trading Company, like, interface, like, is really nice. I really wish Warframe had that. Because in Warframe, we have that, but it's a third-party website not affiliated with Digital Extremes called Warframe.market.
Oh, like, that's gay. Sorry.
to be straight with you, it really is gay.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the 90s.
You're going to get it kicked off iTunes. No,
we're deep enough in.
There is a trading hub. There's a dedicated trading hub where you can like sell individual items and do like the hand raise thing like MMOs would expect, right? Like that does exist in the game. It's just, it's so much more efficient to use the website. It's like you click one button and it copies to your clipboard like /W for Whisper. Hey, so-and-so, I want to buy, you know, this thing for this much platinum. And then in parentheses, Warframe.market. And it's like, you just paste that. You don't add or delete any of the words. And you get an invite to somebody's dojo and you give them the money and the item is yours. It's like, it's the fastest way to get shit in Warframe. It's so much faster than perusing the market in the game. Like,
some Warframe trading too when I Warframed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's money to be made, especially now that Rivens are a thing. I think before Rivens came out.
I quit before Rivens, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. The Riven market's crazy. That's like a 4-digit number of plat if you have the right Riven, because a Riven is a mod for a single weapon that has random stats, and there's a resource you can farm that lets you re-roll those stats. It keeps track of how many times you re-roll. It's a fun number in the corner. But sometimes you get that god roll on a popular weapon. And then you're rich. Like, that mod might sell for, like, 5,000 platinum or some crazy number, right? Especially if it's, like,
I think I've seen some listed for, like, 5-digit, but I don't know if those actually sell.
Those are probably not worth it, honestly. You don't need a Riven to hit damage cap. But it helps a lot, especially if it's a shitty weapon that's fun to use.
Yeah.
But also, the popularity of a weapon determines how, like, funny those numbers are. So, like, the more unpopular a weapon is, like, the crazier the Rivens are. But there's always those weird loopholes. Like, for some reason, Dual Toxosis has, like, 4 out of 5 Riven disposition, which means the numbers get pretty crazy, even though that's a really popular weapon. It's like, they should probably, you know, undo that. But that's, you know, that's up to DE. But still,
look,
the point is...
They've historically had those. Like, what was it? The old laser pointer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
there's a new laser pointer that's even better. But no, besides the point, the Black Lion Trading Company is basically Warframe.market, but in the actual fucking game, and it's like they should just make that. Honestly, DE, what are you doing?
Honestly, yeah, because like look at like Path of Exile 2, mm-hmm. or Path of Exile in general, really, where it had the same thing, right? It has a website where you can key in a bunch of. It's a little bit more skewed because you have to do a lot more like typing, a lot more research on how to look up what you're fucking looking for. But it effectively works the same way, and people fucking hated it. It's a little different because for their issue is when the game released worldwide, the Korean players were fucking running the market and running fake listings to get shit listed lower and like really scamming people and going hard. And then people were getting fed up and they're pissed. So they eventually added a way for you to just do auto trading. Although I don't know if it really fucking worked. I didn't hear too great a thing about it, but like, it's a step in the right direction. I think they used to say they liked the friction of it. They wanted players to interact with each other, and that's all fine and great. I'm a fucking old school MMO guy. I agree. Friction's great. But there comes a point in time where it's like, is Warframe and Path of Exile 2 really the game that you need friction in? Not really. It just doesn't fucking need to happen. It's not a game where you're actively interacting with people in that space all the time. Hell, you can run like 50 missions with people and not even talk to them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, the friction doesn't need to exist. So why even bother having like the weird convoluted system? Just go put like a random system in game where you can list shit and buy shit and not have to fucking whisper someone or otherwise. It's like, it just doesn't need to exist the way it does.
Yeah. Like, I wonder, you know, in the spirit of competition, back to the planet side example, right? Maybe Duet Night Abyss could do this. I don't know what in the game you would trade on this market, but let's say they did it anyway, right? And it was good. Maybe then they would do it to Warframe. We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's probably a really solid way for them to really carve a part out. Because right now, DNA is just like the little, you know, the little brother or the little sister or the child to the parent that is Warframe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that might be a way for them to really carve a way out. It's like, you know, we got this cool system. I mean, they'd have to come up with a new system because what they currently got wouldn't really make sense. But no, I think you're right. That would probably be a solid avenue for them.
I think that's enough context to justify Bank Symbolite as the episode title. If it wasn't that, I was gonna make it Squid Mommy, but that works too.
I have seen some Squid Mommy now.
So
hang on, I know I'm holding us up here. The fuck? How did this happen? I'm not even dogging on people who are like, oh man, she's hot. She is objectively hot. Like, I can't be like, oh, you know, they stuck some big tits on the squid lady.
No, this is like GMO cooked in a lab, covered in MSG hot. Like, what the fuck were they doing? Like, I feel like I've been socially engineered like some kind of MK Ultra victim.
Yeah. It really is. It's really that insane.
Yeah. No, but anyways, that I ran out of topics from my little agenda list. So did you have anything you guys wanted to cover? We could totally end, you know, a little early.
Yeah, we can end.
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a couple other things that are like on the horizon, but if we talk about them now, we're probably just going to talk about them next time anyways.
Nah.
And shit, like a lot of the things that we would have dealt with are not being dealt with anymore.
Yeah, that's downside of the every 2 weeks schedule, and if we miss a day, oh my goodness, we're gone for like a month. Because there was, you know, a lot of news, but a lot of the stuff we talked about is like pretty recent. Like DNA only came out a couple weeks ago. The Valve's announcement was on the 12th, right?
Yeah, it was 2 days ago. Literally like 2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah, but damn, am I glad we waited, because holy shit, that's something I wanted to talk about. But yeah, I know, I don't remember if the Golden Joysticks has announced all of their nominees yet. I know the Game Awards definitely have not. They are announcing them next week. So we will record again for our final episode of the year in 2 weeks' time on Black Friday. And by then, maybe we can talk shit about the nominees and give predictions. And then when we meet again in January, we can debrief and talk about our personal games of the year. How's that sound?
I think that's a good idea.
It's a fantastic idea. So, dear listener, if you would like to interact with the show, feel free to sign up for our forum at melomancy.cafe. And all through the break, we're going to be putting notes down about, you know, shit we should talk about when we come back. You know, anything newsworthy. Throw it in a thread. There's a couple different threads, like for, you know, studios doing good things and bad things, and a general thread. If you have ideas that you want us to cover, put them on the forum. And if you have something real fucking specific that you want us to respond to, send us a boostagram. If you don't know what that is, check out newpodcastapps.com and valueforvalue.info. It'll tell you all about it. This is a Value for Value production. TLDR, we use like some fancy RSS extensions to basically have things like YouTube super chats or Twitch, you know, what are they called? Bits. But it's based on Bitcoin. So no middleman. It all goes to us. So that being said, this has been episode 116. We'll see you all later.
Toodles.